At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm your host, Richard Nelson, here with Ron Hicks, and we are talking about Thanksgiving.
Amen. Thanksgiving. Pumpkin pie.
Welcome to the program, Ron. Mm-hmm. Pumpkin pie. So is this one of your favorite holidays?
Actually, you know what's so crazy? My father loved pumpkin pie. I'm not a big fan of it, but I automatically think of pumpkin pie.
You're Native American. You got to love, partly Native American. Don't you have to love that?
Partly.
Is that stereotypical?
Yes, that's stereotypical.
But I mean, look, you like acorn squash.
I love pumpkin.
Yeah. You like venison. Wild turkey.
Yes, I do.
But
I
don't like pumpkin pie.
Well, I didn't say I didn't like it. Pecan pie?
Yeah.
Yes, I prefer pecan pie. So my father has nothing to do with the program, but my father, one of the very first Thanksgiving that my mother and father celebrated together as husband and wife, they actually lived here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Yeah. My father was stationed at Fort Campbell. This is many years ago. Both my parents are home with the Lord now. They did not have anything. Did not have two dimes to rub together. So my mom made for my father from scratch a pumpkin pie, and it was both their Thanksgiving meal and her Christmas present to him because that's all they could afford.
Wow.
And there's a picture of him standing in a house here in Hopkinsville, and he has a pumpkin pie and a fork and a grin on his face that you could not remove with a 2x4. And so when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of my father with that pumpkin pie and my mom. And so it brings back happy memories. So I enjoy the taste or not, I enjoy that picture.
So for that reason alone, you should like pumpkin pie, right?
Well, I love to have it around, but you can eat it.
Well, I'm a big fan of pumpkin pie, for the record.
Okay.
Big fan of Thanksgiving. In fact, it is my favorite holiday.
Is it really?
One reason why is it's a time of contemplation and Thanksgiving.
Oh, absolutely.
It's really a time when you don't have to worry about presents, for example, with
right.
Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't that commercial aspect, but it really right. is a time of reflection, being with family, mm-hmm. reflecting on all of your blessings in the past year, and just the blessings of being in this country.
Did you ever do anything like in your family time where you would go around the table and say, give us something that you're thankful for mm-hmm. or anything? Did y'all participate in that as
we
a
have.
Family?
Yeah, we've mm-hmm. done that in past years.
That's a neat thing to do, isn't it?
So one of the things we've done, my family back up north, is we would take, 7 corn seeds,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
7 little kernels of corn,
okay.
dried corn,
okay.
and that represented the rations of the corn that the pilgrims got mm-hmm, per day mm-hmm, when they mm-hmm. were running out of food.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad winter.
Okay.
They rationed food. Mm-hmm. So with those 7 pieces of corn, we would give things that we talk about, 7 things we'd be thankful for.
Oh, no kidding.
So,
that's a great. Is that a pretty typical tradition up north?
I realize you Northerners
are completely different.
We're a little different.
We're made of grit.
bear the tough winters,
okay,
long
sure.
winters.
That's a neat tradition. So 7 kernels of corn representing their rations, and you share, 7 things that you're thankful for? So, that's a neat tradition.
So that's one thing.
I may borrow that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving is upon us, and
right.
This is a time, I think, of reflection, mm-hmm. a time of gratitude,
mm-hmm.
a time of thinking about our country's history. That's one reason I like it,
because
I really do believe that it's providential what we have in this country.
Absolutely.
You look at the pilgrims mm-hmm. and the history there. They were supposed to end up in Virginia. They were blown off course, mm-hmm. ended up in Massachusetts, which because of that, they were outside the charter of mm-hmm. the King of England.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they had to covenant to come up with their own form
mm-hmm.
of government.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where we get the Mayflower Compact,
sure enough.
We mm-hmm. also see the God's hand involved in the reason why they settled there and
sure.
Squanto. We're going to talk about mm-hmm, that in
mm-hmm,
a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me realize, Ron, that this wasn't an accident.
No.
That this was something that was orchestrated by
mm-hmm,
God.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty amazing how things turned out. But I would encourage all of the listeners out there to find some things that you're grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
When you cultivate this attitude of gratitude, when
I
you
love that,
when you
right.
cultivate thankfulness in your heart,
mm-hmm.
it changes your demeanor. Instead of complaining, look, there's a lot we can complain about. There's a lot that
we've
we
heard
can,
a lot of that going on the last couple of weeks, haven't we?
We have too much.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do that, we end up in a place that's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help our outlook.
Mm-hmm.
But we ultimately forget this, is that God is in control,
that's
that
right.
God is orchestrating things behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
that God is at work in our lives, even in the valleys,
right.
even when there's discouragement, even when we're going through hardships. God is still at work.
Amen.
And if we give into this attitude of bitterness and anger,
mm-hmm.
we don't leave room for God to be at work. We're
mm-hmm.
we're short-circuiting what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Biblically, Ron, it is a biblical principle from the Old Testament to the New Testament that in times of hardship, we don't look to ourselves and complain. But we look to God and say, God, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm,
we don't look to our circumstances and say, oh me, oh my,
right.
look at what's happening. We say, God, what are you doing and how can you work this for my good?
Absolutely.
We do see biblically that when people give in to bitterness and to anger, it doesn't end up well. I'm reading, for example,
sure.
I'm reading through where the Israelites were taken out of Egypt and Moses is leading them to the promised land. And I'd be amazed, even if I saw one of those miracles,
right.
one of the 10 plagues over Egypt, I'd be like, wow, this is something.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an accident.
Well, every morning going out and getting manna.
getting manna, that's right. There were water from the rock, the manna from the sky, quail that came. But you know what? After every one of these, shortly after, the Israelites started grumbling and complaining. And by the way, that's not to pick on them because that's representative of our hearts. Because guess what? We're all grumblers and complainers.
Well, and you mentioned earlier this attitude of gratitude. I learned a long time ago, what you feed grows.
Yeah.
Talking about Thanksgiving and all the rest of it, what you feed grows. So if you're a grumbler, if you're a complainer, or if you hang around somebody that's like that, if you'll notice, the more they grumble and the more you feed into that, the more you say, then that grumbling grows and grows and grows. And before you know it, it becomes a prevailing attitude. You know, the whole idea of one bad apple spoil the whole barrel of apples.
Right. That's right.
Grumbling, discord, backbiting, those things that the scriptures talk about is because they're so doggone infectious. If you feed those things grow. And you were also talking about in the valley. You know, everybody wants to be on the mountaintop. But Richard, the reason that the view is so spectacular on the mountaintop is because nothing grows there. There's no trees that are in the way. There's no vegetation. So you can see the view and spectacular and all the rest of that. But if you stay on the mountaintop, brother, you're going to starve to death. The food, the nutrients, they're in the valley.
Yeah.
And that's where life takes place. And so that's why, you know, from the mountaintop, you look at the lush valley, life is taking place there. On the mountaintop, nothing grows. You will die there. It's a spectacular view and everybody likes it, but you cannot live on the mountaintop. You got to live in the valley.
If I could add to that, Ron, you certainly appreciate the mountaintop a lot more if you've been through the valley.
Absolutely.
If you've been through the struggle and the turmoil, when God lifts you up and puts you on that mountaintop, it's extra special. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with Ron Hicks. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a minute. Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky. Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with Ron Hicks, and we are talking Thanksgiving. Ron, we were talking about gratitude just before the break and the need for us to cultivate this attitude of gratitude. And that means that you don't put on these rose-colored glasses and pretend that nothing bad happens or be oblivious to the wrong that's in the world. What it does mean is that you don't dwell in negativity, you don't dwell in criticism, you don't get into grumbling. You're truly acknowledging what's going on, but you also look to what God is doing behind the scenes. You look to Him as to how He's changing you and your heart. You look to see Him work through difficult circumstances, and ultimately we're acknowledging His sovereignty, that God is God over the good times just as much mm-hmm. He is God over the bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, if we, as Christians especially, if we get into this negative mode, criticism mode, grumbling mode, that's off-putting. That nobody wants that. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants. It's
so easy
propel
to get sucked right into that. I mean, isn't it just so easy to just be drawn into that? It's one of the greatest strategies of the devil to be able to just suck folks right into that. And so, we've got to guard against that, because if not, boy, it'll just creep up, and before you know it, we're all in there together, just complaining.
And that ain't no fun, is it?
It's not a place to be.
Well, that would have been a very easy place for the pilgrims because they had a very difficult.
It's cold.
Oh. Yeah. Well, if you look about it, they actually had planned their voyage here, I believe it was in the spring of 1620. Mm-hmm. And even before that, they were swindled. They purchased a voyage over. They were swindled in one case. Mm-hmm. When they eventually started they had their money together, they got three ships. Well, two of them were leaky.
Right.
They had to turn back ships that had provisions.
And didn't they actually start out much later in the season than what they should have?
That caused them. Yeah, caused it to then to start out later, late summer.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get here until November of November 11th of. I'm sorry, November. Let's see, 1621, November the 11th. Yeah,
in Massachusetts in November.
In Massachusetts. Now, they were blown off course, terrible seas, I mean, the bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
They were blown a couple hundred miles off course, ended up in Massachusetts, but through all of this, so they had a lot of reason to complain.
Absolutely.
But through all of this, God had his hand at work. We call this providence. When you see God at work, it's providential. It's providence. God working behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what am I talking about? Their circumstances being providential. Well, let's say they got started on time like they had planned, which that would have been good.
Sure.
But if they ended up in Virginia, Ron, they would not have met Squanto.
I was going to say completely different scenario, sure enough.
So Squanto is pivotal in the story of the first Thanksgiving because, number one, he spoke English.
I was going to say, what are the chances of landing in Massachusetts? Here's an Indian. It's like, howdy.
Yeah, that's
whoa,
right.
Whoa, what? How do you speak English? Yeah.
But the reason why that was so important is because Squanto could teach them about hunting.
Absolutely.
And fishing and when to go and what to use, how to plant food.
Taking fish carcasses and planting the corn alongside. We learned that when we were kids.
That's right.
They
plant. They take a fish and they plant it along with the seed of corn. But Squanto was really pivotal for them to make it through that first couple of years. Now, that first winter, by the way, the pilgrims lost about half of their number. There were 100 pilgrims that came over on the Mayflower. They lost half over the winter. It was a hard winter. They didn't have enough food or clothes. They weren't really prepared. They had no idea. The Massachusetts winters, a lot harsher than
those
in England.
Well, and think about not only the providence that Squanto spoke English, but the idea that he exercised grace, and this is a perfect picture of Christ, he was taken into captivity in Egypt, into slavery, in essence, learned the language, came back here to America, the land of his ancestors. He could have absolutely said, nuh-uh. Y'all starved to death, freeze to death. Y'all took me captive and all the rest of that. But by grace, he was able to show them favor, and God showed them favor through him.
Yeah.
And so the word providence is even mentioned in in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. I'm sorry, I should have known, but
it's in
by the providence of God. Yes,
providence is mentioned.
Absolutely.
God is mentioned four times in the Declaration.
Right.
By the way, providence is one of the terms that they use. But you're right. Squanto could have been bitter
Absolutely.
And angry, but he didn't. I understand that he did come to faith, and he was gracious.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to help the pilgrims. Mm-hmm. Here's another reason why he could have been bitter, because when he came back, now he was kidnapped twice, actually, sold into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it was a monk or a priest that freed him, that got him freed so he could come back. He wanted to be with his family.
Right.
When he came back, Ron, he discovered that his tribe was wiped out.
Wiped out.
His whole family was lost. They had a plague that hit. It was the Patuxent tribe in Massachusetts, and they all died.
Mm.
If he wasn't kidnapped,
right?
If he didn't go to Europe for a few years, he would have
been dead.
He would have died too. Mm-hmm. The other part of providence, since this is the theme we're talking about, is that the land was cleared. Where the pilgrims landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts, the land was cleared. It wasn't just tangles and bushes.
Right, sure,
they actually
sure.
had a village area where the Patuxents camped and where they stayed. But it was freed because they had a plague that hit. So they had a landing area and an area that they could use. And that was providential
absolutely
as well.
So
and then, of course, Squanto was able to help them, tell them where to find things and where to go, give them an idea of the topography of the land.
One of the things that I think is interesting, kind of a little side note on my family's heritage, we're members of the Cherokee Nation, the Western Band of the Cherokee Nation, and a lot of times people come to the Trail of Tears Park here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and they're like, what's the deal with that log cabin? I'm like, well, that's what Cherokees lived in. And then, well, what about the teepees? That's Plain Indians that used to, you know, they were farmers, you know, a lot of Native American tribes were farmers, agricultural, and so they didn't live in teepees. They weren't nomadic. They actually built structures and all the rest of that sort of thing. So often, once you get to looking into these things, you learn a whole lot about the history of the country, the people of the country, and that cooperative spirit. You know, in the country, the whole, you know, when we were kids, we learned about this idea of called the melting pot, where everybody learned, everybody celebrated each other's culture. Nowadays, one of the things that just kills me is when they talk about cultural misappropriation, where it's like, if you wear braided hair, oh, you're stealing the culture of the Native Americans. Wait a minute. It used to be the melting pot.
That's
where
right.
you celebrated other people's culture and say, yeah, I'm going to braid my hair like my brothers from the Native Americans and all. Now
right.
you're stealing somebody's culture. I just don't.
That goes back to the program we just did last week, where this idea of identity politics, where you're a certain clan or class or race and you
got
to stay in there. You can't culturally appropriate something from that. And you've got to apologize if there was any wrong, even if you didn't commit that wrong. So, but that's a whole nother program. But Ron, we're talking the pilgrims here, and instead of getting bitter or angry or shaking their fist at God, they acknowledged him at work, and they gave thanks on that first Thanksgiving in 1621. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we're going to talk about God's providence.
We're talking about the menu?
And the menu, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
We could. And by the way, that menu was different than what we have now.
Absolutely. That's kind of a joke.
But
it wasn't heavy on turkey.
No, not really. Not really. So stay with us. Right. We'll be back in just a minute.
Growing up as a child, who did you turn to whenever you had a crisis? Who was your source of strength? Who held you in the darkest situations and became your beacon of light? Most of us will recall the love of our parents, our grandparents, our family. But the harsh reality today is that there are many who face the dark places of life totally alone. Since 1869, the mission and the ministry of Sunrise Children's Services has been to help children in crisis. That need grows every day in Kentucky. Everyone with a passion for children can join us in giving hope to children in need. To learn more, just visit sunrise.org or call 1-800-456-1386. Matthew 25:40 tells us, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me.' Now's the time to be a child's source of strength. Come help us at Sunrise Children's Services."
Welcome back to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, here with Ron Hicks, and we are talking about Thanksgiving. So, Ron, just before the break, you seemed interested in the menu.
Yes.
What was on that first menu for the pilgrims and the Indians who celebrated with them?
What are every Thanksgiving table is decorated with, I mean, as the centerpiece of every Thanksgiving, just for almost every family, is a beautiful, beautiful turkey.
Yeah.
The first Thanksgiving meal would not have been heavy on turkey.
Not heavy, although they did have some.
They would have had, sure, because
what else
wild turkey. Venison.
Yeah.
They'd have had venison for sure.
Yeah.
Wild game, squirrel and bird and they would have had birds certainly, but they'd have been heavy in venison.
Yeah, venison. They
vegetables.
Actually did record that they got a number of deer.
Mm-hmm.
They had a few turkey, but you know they also had ducks and geese. They had black ducks and then they called white ducks ducks of the white variety.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also had seafood. You know that they actually
on the coast. Sure, absolutely.
So clams and mussels.
Mm-hmm.
I believe lobster.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other interesting things that they had on their diet. Of course, the root like vegetables, they had squash and some other. The pumpkin pie probably was not a thing.
Probably not.
But corn.
They would have certainly had pumpkin. And a lot of people, that's another thing is, you know, a lot of times when you talk about pumpkin, you know, my family has always eaten pumpkin, like squash. You're just, you know, hey, you know, pumpkin. Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, you get a pumpkin and people's like, you know, are you going to make a pie? No, we're just going to have pumpkin. I mean, you cook it, you cube it and cook it.
How is it?
You
know. Does it taste good?
Pumpkin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not the pie. Yeah,
you just don't like the pie.
Well, no, I don't mind the pie. But you like butternut squash, you know, if you like butternut squash, it's kind of the same thing. It's, it's good. Uh-huh. Sure.
That's good. So that first Thanksgiving meal, they celebrated for 3 days. Mm-hmm. They played games, competitions, ate well. I mean, the Indians brought a lot of the food.
Sure.
And the Pilgrims brought some.
And they celebrated being alive.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot, like you said, 50% of them didn't make it, but they celebrated being alive. And if I could kind of pivot a little bit, you and I are strong in our faith, not because of our goodness, but because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of a living God. And God says, I want to give you life and I want to give it to you abundantly.
Yeah.
And so every believer, every day ought to be Thanksgiving, ought to be Easter, ought to be Christmas, where we celebrate the fact that we are alive in Christ, because we were dead in our sins, Richard. Yeah. I was heading straight to hell. You hear me?
Yeah.
And so were you. Yeah. And God looked down through eternity, saw my need for a Savior, gave of himself, put on flesh and blood, did not think it beneath him. I'm going to preach here in a minute. You hear me?
Did not think it beneath him
to be able to put on flesh and blood, came, lived a sinless life, and for the joy set before him, the scriptures say, he endured the shame of the cross to be able to buy your forgiveness, my forgiveness. He redeemed us. Like you took a old discarded bottle. When I lived in Virginia, we gathered up bottles alongside the road, took them to the store and redeemed them for a nickel. God took our old, dirty, broken vessels and redeemed them with his own body on the cross. And so every single day, we ought to celebrate life, abundant life. Yeah. But the crazy thing is, with Christianity, you got to celebrate life by dying.
Yeah.
You die to self. He died on the cross. We got to die to ourselves.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit, because it might be strange to a lot of people who aren't believers right now. But when you think about dying to yourself, like, what, aren't we supposed to live? Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't God want me to do well? Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean to die to self?
Well, you know, if we get the dying over with, we can start the living. I think a couple programs ago, you talked about the idea that Christianity, the idea of spirituality, is such an offense to people because we sit on the throne.
Yeah.
It's what do you want? You know, pull your stuff up by your bootstraps. Get all, you know, carpe diem. You know, whatever you want, name it, claim it, all those sort of things.
Yeah.
But in fact, the scriptures say that we have to make ourselves servants. Yeah. The Bible doesn't say, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Savior, because he is the Savior. Yeah. It's Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, yeah. So we have to say, I'm going to serve you. So I'm dying to myself so that I might be able to live for you. And that's when life actually starts happening.
Yeah.
When you consider others better than yourselves, not demeaning yourself, but to be able to say that Christ died for that person.
Yeah.
It died for that person. So the least I could do is live for Christ, to be able to model Christ to other people. So the idea of, you know, I heard a story one time and just it cut to the chase. A pastor said, If I take care of the Lord's business, he's going to take care of mine.
Yeah.
So if I just simply do what God has called me to do, then he's going to handle all the things in my life that need to be handled.
That's a good way of putting dying to self, because it doesn't mean you check out of life.
No.
It doesn't mean that you don't work and you don't have a family, you don't take care of others. It means that you're submitting your desires. Yeah,
sure.
And I enjoy this.
Yeah.
But you're submitting your desires to what God has in store for you, God's plan for you. It's bowing your knee to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's submitting to him. It's seeking his will.
Mm-hmm.
And finding out what God made you for.
Yeah.
That for some, it might be a doctor.
Yeah.
Some, it might be a teacher. Some might be called on the mission field. whatever it might be, but we all have something that God puts before us.
And as Martin Luther King Jr. said, if your lot in life is to be a street sweeper, let all of heaven and earth rejoice that you are the greatest sweep. And and the word submission, and we may have to wait till after the break on this, but the word submission, if I submit my will, it doesn't mean that I hold it in clenched fist and you wrestle it away from me. It means I open my hand and I say, I'm freely giving this to you, Lord, trusting that you're going to take my life. In a marriage covenant, you submit your heart to your spouse, understanding that in their frailty, they're going to drop it. They're going to step on it. They're going to wound you. Yeah. But you freely give it because you realize in return, you're going to receive. So when submit our life to Christ, it's not with clenched fists. It's with open hands saying, God, I know you're going to be able to do a better job with this than I can.
And Ron, that's a good segue into this, back into the pilgrims. Mm-hmm. That's what the pilgrims did.
Absolutely.
They knew God had something else for them. They were leaving England because of religious persecution.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was only one church allowed. Mm-hmm. It was a Church of England. Mm-hmm. And the pilgrims had different convictions. Mm-hmm. They read scripture and their conscience led them to worship a different way. They thought the church was corrupt.
Yeah.
They didn't believe the teaching of the church, so they left. And they believe that God had called them out and set this, gave them a vision to come to a new land, to start a new, not just a new church, but they wanted religious freedom, but they wanted a new form of government as well.
Do we have time for me to read just a line or two of them?
Go ahead. Read that first.
Mayflower Compact. It starts and it says, in the name of God, amen, which just simply means I agree. We whose name are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc. Having undertaken, it says, for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, that's where they were heading, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body polity for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereto to enact, constitute, and frame for just and equal laws, ordinance, acts, and it goes on. But it says, advancement of the Christian, undertaken an advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage.
For the glory of God.
Absolutely.
They did this to glorify God, and they wanted to advance Christian faith, which they couldn't do it to the way they
and
felt led to do.
And it talks about laws and preservation and the common good and combining ourselves and all those things. And without God at the center of that, none of it would work.
Yeah, no, that's good. Ron, I wish we had more time to talk about this. We are out of time.
What?
Good program, man.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, listeners, because without you, we couldn't do any of this.
All right. God bless.
God bless y'all.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Cal Moral Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CalMoralPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Cal Moral Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.